know that sometimes we go through certain things and we experience certain things and we don't comprehend the fullness of the impact until later. And today was a time to really reflect on John's family, his dad, the circumstances, and tell you truthfully that I felt the prayers of the saints today. I want to thank you. Thank you for interceding for us, because that family got touched, and that part is very, very sweet. And tonight, as I put my Bible here, I didn't have a choice about which Bible I was going to use, because the other one's in my car back in Palmer, and if I behave real good, I'll get a ride home. Because I've had a warning from my friends, I have to behave. But I did hear loud and clear Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, so I have no clue what's there. If you think I know it by heart, you've got news coming, I don't. And I believe we're going to start at verse 1. It says, and I'm going to be using the Amplified, because like I told you, I don't have a choice. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits, and doctrines that demons teach through the hypocrisy and pretension of liars whose consciences are seared or cauterized. The very first time that I began to study what happens to a seared spirit, I would have to go back maybe close to 20 years. And you'll find that a person who's been seared in the spirit has no ability to really feel the depth that you feel. They can't. They literally have no ability to release what's inside of them, because they are literally encapsulated by a crust. How many of you have ever taken a piece of roast beef and literally seared it on an open flame? It literally holds its juices. It cannot release anything from within. And notice, again, that the force that's involved is the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So when you have someone of this type that you're dealing with, don't be angry at the person, because they can't help themselves. It takes the Spirit of God to literally begin to change the inner parts of that person. Because they are believing what they're teaching. And they can't help themselves. It's not a matter of them choosing. They can't choose. They've already been indoctrinated. And their free will has been tampered. Verse 3. Who forbid people to marry and teach them to abstain from certain kinds of foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. Now, that's what's happening in a couple of days. By those who believe and have an increasingly clear knowledge of the truth. Increasingly is very important. Because God has got you on a path where you're going to learn more and more about His Word, about His ways, and about His revelation. And when you think you got it all put together, He's going to do just like me. He's going to change everything that you thought you knew. And every time I got comfortable, He made sure that I didn't stay comfortable. He impacted me with a new truth to go deeper and deeper within myself to be able to say, wait a minute. What I thought I knew, I didn't comprehend correctly. And He fine-tuned me. Yes, dear. First Timothy chapter 4. First letter of Timothy, chapter 4. Okay. Right. See, there are two letters to Timothy, so obviously it's the first letter of Timothy, chapter 4. Okay. Now we're actually going to be entering verse 4. Everything God has created is good, and nothing is to be thrown away or refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For if it is hallowed and consecrated by the word of God and by prayer. So when you pray over your food, what are you doing? Consecrating and perfecting it. If you lay all these instructions before the brethren, you will be a worthy steward and a good minister of Christ, Jesus, ever nourishing your own self on the truth of the faith and of the good Christian instructions which you have closely followed. So now, he's talking to his spiritual son. Wake up! You're doing a good job. I'm trying to make you know you're doing a good work. Continue what you're doing. Verse 7. But refuse and avoid irreverent legends, profane and impure, and godless fiction, mere grandmother's tales, and silly myths, and express your disapproval of them. Train yourself towards godliness, piety, keeping yourself spiritually fit. So in other words, you've got to keep focused on the Lord. If you focus on the TV, if you focus on entertainment, if you focus on all the stuff that's out there to keep you busy, guess who's going to be second in your life? God's going to be second, and somebody's going to be first. Who's going to be first? Self. All right? You ever want to see self-worship? Look at what you've done for the inner part of yourself during the last 24 hours. Just look at what you've chosen. Look at where you've spent your time. Look at the things you've done. And then begin to comprehend. Hey, wait a minute. I guess I wasn't serving God. I was serving me. How many have ever discovered that? Okay? You know, when I began to see, when God was really trying to get me to look on the inside, that I was wasting some of my time on trivia. I remember one time he said to me, are you going to take any time with me today? And I was just about falling asleep, and I said, Lord, I'm trying to read your word. He said, would have been better when you first woke up. You wouldn't be so tired. Because you know what was happening? I was studying my Bible and falling asleep. Boing. You know, your head hits the Bible, and you say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I fell asleep. Yeah, you're wiped out. So he began to adjust me by giving me a little nudge to take an extra 10 minutes in the morning. Now, 10 minutes isn't bad. And you know what? I had a hard time with it. Because I was the type of person that rolled out of bed, went into the bathroom, did what I needed to do, got my show on the road, grabbed my coffee, and went to work. Uh-huh. And God says, you're lazy. You're putting somebody else first. Guess who was first? Me, myself, and I. Three wonderful friends. Amen? Well, I decided, Lord, how can I do this? He says, back up the alarm clock and take 5 minutes every 3 days. So I was able to get to 20 minutes. And at 20 minutes, he was satisfied. And I saw a change in me. Because I was able to read a few chapters. He didn't want a lot. He just wanted my first and my best. First fruit. Yeah. And boy, you know what? I used to sit with my coffee at the kitchen table before all the rest of the house woke up. And it was a wonderful time. And it changed my heart. Because you see, I was awake for that word that needed to come into my heart. And as the day progressed, much of the time, a little bit of that word came alive that very day. And he would impact me with that truth, and it became my personal change. So, get a clue. Adjust it, slide into home base if you have to, whether it's 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes every 3 days. I don't care which way you do it. Ask them for the grace to do it. Because on my own, I couldn't do it. I flopped right back into the old pattern. But I asked him for the grace, and he gave it to me. Okay? Now, verse 8. For physical training is of some value, useful for a little. But godliness is useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life, and also for the life which is to come. Now, part of what we did today was to recognize an 83-year-old gentleman who gave of himself unconditionally. Gave children and little ones and older ones quality time so that they could come to life. And I could relate because that's been a little bit of the path that God has put me on. So what am I saying? I'm saying that I saw the fruit of a man of God giving unconditional love, and I saw the fruit in the little ones as they came up. And one particular grandson got up. He came from a broken relationship. His mom and his dad had some kind of division. But because his grandfather took time with him, even though they were 100, 700 miles away, he went and gave this young man and his brother life by quality time with him. And that young man stood up today, and I was all excited on the inside because of the declaration that he made. He confessed his sin of multiples of times he did the wrong choice. But he didn't forget the one that gave him life and courage and hope for the future. And that's intense. That gave me a boost. And I told him so. You know why? Because sometimes we get tired in doing well. Sometimes we get tired in pushing and pushing ourselves to introduce someone to the Lord and to lift them up and to strengthen them. And inside, sometimes we're the ones that are falling apart. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But your purpose to give it anyway. But when you see the fruit, like I saw today, what an exciting moment. Verse 9. This saying is reliable and worthy of complete acceptance by everybody. With a view to this, we toil and strive, yes, and suffer reproach, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior, preserver, maintainer, and deliverer of all men, especially of those who believe. Trust in, rely on, and adhere to Him. Continue to command these things and to teach them. Let no one despise or think less of you because of your youth. Did you hear me there, young man? Yeah. But be an example, a pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. That includes the young ladies. Till I come, devote yourselves to reading, to exhorting, to preaching, and to personal appeal, and to teaching and instilling doctrine. Do not neglect the gift which is in you. That special inward endowment. Isn't that awesome? Which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit, by prophetic utterance, when the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination, which is in parentheses. Practice and cultivate and meditate upon those or these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them, your ministry, so that you progress, or your progress may be evident to everybody. So when you're changing before the whole body, God is aware, but the body is aware that you're changing. Amen? Had a privilege today spending a little bit of quality time with Linda's two beautiful Mikes. She has her son Mike and her grandson Michael. And we sat at the dinner table tonight. And what a quality time we had. What a precious moment to watch these two young men. And the enjoyment of Mama being next to them, of course. That was very special. But I watched especially the younger one. Because there's a glow on him. And there's a hunger for God on him that is so precious. And all I could think about is Chuck making those prayers on those men's prayer meetings. And he was still, you know, having a hard time to speak sometimes. But he would say, "You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys know. Finish the prayer." And you know what? Those prayers are not going to go back void. Because Chuck prayed with all his heart for those children, especially his sons and his grandsons, his granddaughters and his daughter. And that is not done. Those prayers are still sitting. And we saw some of the fruit today. We saw it with our own eyes. Of course, that's Linda's fault, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. I had to hitch a ride. But God had prepared her. Verse 16. Look well to yourselves, to your own personality, and to your teachings. Persevere in these things. Hold to them, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You know, when you get weary, when you get a little bit overwhelmed by all the things and responsibilities that you have, don't give up. You just might need to just reach your hand to the other one. Maybe have a little spurt of fire in them and ask for something. Ask for something. A lot of times we don't ask and we don't get. And we get weary. Don't be afraid to say, "Hey, I need prayer today." And you know what? That humble statement, God will hear and He will honor. And He